going to be reading from the book of John chapter 14 this morning. The book of John chapter 14. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we're thankful that we can call upon you this morning. We're thankful, Lord, that you have helped us to learn to trust in you, God, and to rely upon you, and certainly this morning, that's what we're doing. We ask you to help us as we endeavor to bring the thoughts that you have placed upon our heart. Lord, that not only could we bring those thoughts as you would have them to be, but they could also be a help to each and everyone that's here. We pray a rebuke upon the enemy of souls that would ever seek to hinder. And we ask you that your spirit could just move in our midst and help us this morning. We certainly thank you and praise you for the good camp meeting, for the good services we have been privileged to be in, all the rich fellowship, all the sweet singing in the spirit, everything that's been accomplished this week. We thank you so much, dear God. We ask you to continue to help those who are laboring even today and tomorrow throughout the meeting. Please continue to help them and bless them, we pray. And help us now as we go through this service. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Again, that first verse of the book of John chapter 14 is what we would like to study just a little bit this morning. It says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. I wonder this morning if you would feel like you're able, if you just lift your hand this morning, if you believe in God. Just lift it up there and hold it up high. Hold it up real high if you believe in God this morning. Amen. You know, it's a wonderful thing to believe in God. Amen. The title of my message this morning is, can a man believe in God and yet need something more? Can a man believe in God and yet need something more? In our scripture lesson this morning, Jesus was speaking to his disciples at a time when there was some great changes on the horizon. Just right out ahead of him, he was going to be departing from their midst. And that was going to be a real devastating thing. You know, change is not easy. We get very accustomed to things being in our life in a certain way, and the thought of change sometimes really troubles our heart. You know, even the changes that are good things, that are good changes, can seem to be a little unsettling to us because we're not sure sometimes as to how things will work or how they'll be. And so it was the disciples in this lesson, their hearts were troubled because the Lord said, let not your heart be troubled. In verse number 27 of this same chapter, he said, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I want to tell you this morning, there's something that can help your troubled heart. If there's some things out ahead of you, around the corner somewhere, or if there's something that you're really considering that involves some serious changes, it may have your heart troubled, but there's help for every troubled heart. There's something that can calm the fears that you may feel from time to time when certain subjects are mentioned. When I was in sin, I didn't like people to talk about eternity. I didn't like to hear about the eternal damnation of hell. Those things troubled me. And I didn't even like to listen to songs or be a part of things that talked about that. I know there's songs, all kinds of songs out here in the world. And there was one song that said, I'm on the highway to hell. And that song troubled me so badly. I didn't like to listen to it when it would come on wherever I was at. That troubled me. I was not comfortable with that. And there may be things today that, if you would be honest, they trouble you. Amen. Especially if you're not a Christian this morning, there may be some things that trouble you. But I want you to know God has help. He has something that can help the troubled heart. Amen. He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Now, again, the title that we use is, can a man believe in God and yet need something more? Amen. According to what Jesus had to say here, it's possible to believe in God and yet need something more. I just asked you a question a few moments ago, and I don't know of any of you that didn't raise your hand. Maybe there's some here that didn't raise their hand. But I ask you a question, do you believe in God? And I know this, a lot of hands went up around the building. And you know, if you were to ask that same question, even out here in the world, in a lot of the places where people gather, even in some of the very rough places that people get together, if you were to ask the question, hey, how many people here believe in God? There'd be a lot of those people that would raise their hand. Amen. I would just venture to even say this. I'm not going to no tavern, but I would just venture to say this. If you went to a tavern and stopped the music and stopped the dancing and stopped whatever was going on and said, hey, everybody, how many of you people in here in this bar believe in God? I would venture to say there would be quite a few hands that would go up. Amen. Even people that are living in very openly defiant ways to some of the things we know and understand from the Bible, even a lot of those people will join in saying, I believe in God. I don't like to spend a lot of time on the internet. I don't like to spend a lot of time on social media. There's too many other things to do, but we do use social media. And sometimes I see prayer requests go out or prayer requests be made. And people from all over the country and all over the world began to add their comments in there. We're praying. We're praying. We're going to God on behalf of this or that. And I'm not finding fault with that this morning. But you know, there's sometimes people that are living in every way imaginable that will say they're praying. You know that you know what that tells me this morning? That tells me that a lot of people have took the initial step of raising their hand, so to speak, or have coming to that place where they say, I do believe in God. I believe that God exists. And you know what Jesus, or the Bible says one time, I believe it's over in the book of James, he said, you believe there is one God, you do well. You do well. I'm not going to fault you for that. But my question this morning is, can a person that really does believe in God, can they yet still need something more? Amen. A little further down the page of John chapter 14, Jesus said this. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. I'm convinced this morning that an individual can believe in God, and yet there's something missing. There's still something missing. Amen. Maybe it's just, maybe we would better describe it as a head knowledge of God. Maybe it's not fully in the heart. Amen. I remember the first Saturday after I was saved. I was saved on a Wednesday night, April the 21st, 1993, about 8:25 p.m. You may not remember all the details of yours, but I just happen to know mine. And that was a Wednesday night, and the revival that Brother Dishman was preaching that I got saved in ended on Friday night. And there was an all-day meeting on Saturday in Springfield, Ohio, and Brother Dishman said, you ought to go to that meeting. It'd be like a shot in the arm. And I understood that lingo. Coming from a life of sin, I understood what kind of language he was talking. I thought, I want a spiritual shot in the arm. And so I went to that meeting, and at that meeting, I had been acquainted with Brother and Sister Whitehead in growing up, but I hadn't seen them in a long, long time. And they got up and sung a song. And in that song, they said, do you know how it feels to know something's missing? Hear a still, small voice that you just keep dismissing. Amen. They kept singing. And the more they sing, the less I could hold my seat. And that's the first time I began to rejoice. And I don't want to stop yet. Amen. I like to rejoice in the good things of God. I remember raising my hand. It was kind of nervous to do it, but I thought, hey, they're singing about something I now know about. But I wonder this morning, how many people that say they believe in God would be honest and say, you know, really, there's still something missing in my life. I've been hearing a voice. That's why I'm here this morning. There's something been tugging on my heart. There's something been speaking to me. I've been hearing a voice because there's something missing. It's very possible to believe in God in a sense and yet need something more. Amen. The disciples here believed in God, but yet they wasn't convinced entirely of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now they were with him and they had witnessed him do many things. Would you agree to that? They had witnessed him do miraculous things. And you know, when I think of that, I think of the truth and the people who love truth. And I think of this way, this Christian way. And I think there's some very impressive things that can be witnessed around the truth. Amen. Brother, when somebody's sick in body and they're down, and we've got all kinds of testimonies of that back here and out there, and God comes along and does something that even defies what the physicians and the medical society could even do, that's pretty amazing. Amen. That makes us feel encouraged. When there's someone that has a real serious problems, they've got some real issues, they're battling some real things, and the saints begin to pray and things begin to take place, and God's people come together, and so that thing gets resolved. Brother, I tell you, that's encouraging. Amen. That makes us want to believe. But I'm going to tell you, it takes more than that. That takes more than that. These disciples had been with Jesus for 3.5 years approximately, and they had been in the midst of him doing great things. And many of you have seen great things right in a camp meeting setting. Brother, I meet people and we talk to people sometimes, and they remember the good things that happened at camp meeting. They remember the rejoicing. They remember the conviction. They remember the things that took place in their services, in their local congregations, when God would come down and meet with them. They remember those things. Good things that happened. Amen. But that's not sufficient. That's not sufficient. These disciples, they needed something more than just being with Jesus in those different places that they were in. Because I tell you something, their faith was sometimes strong, and sometimes they was this way, and sometimes they were this way. Right? There was those that could say, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And then there were those that not too long after that could say, go ask him if he's the one that should come. I don't really know. I'm very tossed about this. Sometimes I believe. There was those that could say, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And that same individual could later say, I don't know who he is. That's right. Right on. I don't know. and denying three times. They were tossed to some degree. You know, I find a lot of people, a lot of good people across the land in the same position. I find a lot of people, even sometimes sitting right in church pews, I find people that for a moment they're really on fire, they're really encouraged, they're really on fire, or they're like they believe God. But then you let somebody come around and offer them a drink or offer them a smoke or offer them this, and all of a sudden they're moving this way. Maybe sometimes it's not that serious, maybe, or to that level. Let me put it that way. Sometimes maybe it's just you got somebody and they've been at a camp meeting like this, and we've had a wonderful camp meeting as far as I'm concerned. They've been at a camp meeting, and brother, there they go out of here and they're on fire for God. They're ready to do what's right. But then they get back home and it's kind of like, I don't know, do I really need to go to church? Do I really need to be in service? I've got, you know, my cousin's nephew's sister's birthday, and I better just go to that instead of go to the house of the Lord. Amen. People can be good people that believe that there is a God, that believe in a God, that believe in God. Good people can be kind of tossed. They can be moved back and forth. And if you want to admit it, saints, let's just admit it, even you and I, sometimes. We know we need to read our Bible. We know we need to pray. We know visitation is necessary. It's very important. We're not going to win everybody by just sitting on these pews. We know there's things that are necessary, but sometimes we'll add a little something just kind of keep us from going forward. Right? The disciples believed in God. And Jesus said, "You believe in God, believe also in me." I think it kind of, if we kind of brought that up to modern terms, maybe a way of saying it would say, or just another way of saying it, I'm not trying to change the scripture, but maybe another way would say, you believe in God, believe also in holy living. You believe in God, believe also in faithfulness. Amen. You believe in God, believe in following the example that Jesus set when he done no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Amen. In other words, bringing them on over, bringing us a little further. Not just saying, yeah, I believe in God, and then going out about and living any way you choose, any way the wind blows. Amen. Brother, living for God is more than that. Being a Christian and making heaven your home and avoiding hell is more than that. It's more than just saying, I believe in God, and then live any way you want. There's something more. A man can believe in God and yet be in a position where he needs more. I'm not going to limit it to one more, two more, three more, four. I'm not going to limit it. I'm going to say this. A man can believe in God and yet need more. Amen. These disciples were in that position. They were in that position. Amen. Many times, the truth, we love the truth. And we really love it, and it's much easier, seems as though, it's much easier to hold up the truth, to be that ground and pillar of the truth. You know, a pillar has a lot of pressure on it. A pillar that holds a building up has a lot of pressure on it. But it's much easier to hold that truth and maintain that truth when we're all together and when we're meeting daily and we're not worried about the things out here. When I come to camp meeting, I don't even pay attention to the news. I just lose sight of the news and what's going on. I couldn't tell you who's giving a speech or who's doing what. Amen. I just kind of get consumed with the fellowship and the preaching and the singing, and then we go back home and then we hear about all that other stuff. But the truth, we can believe in God and yet the truth not really be fully convinced and sold on it. Because it takes more than just coming to camp meeting to get sold on it. Amen. In fact, I'll be honest with you, it takes more than even just coming to the altar. It takes more than even just coming down to the altar. It takes something that was even necessary back there. See, Jesus was working. He was working to convince them, but he wasn't disappointed. He wasn't sad and disappointed because he knew there was something yet pending. He wasn't disappointed that they were in this position. What his real objective was, he was fulfilling every prophecy, everything that had been told in advance of him, everything that he, all the works that he needed to do, that was what his main objective was. He was carrying out all those works to the T, if you will. He was carrying them all out. Why? Because he said, that's what's really going to testify of me. He said, the works that I do, that's going to testify of me. How was that going to testify? Because God had been laying it on prophets' hearts down through the ages of time, saying this was going to happen and this was going to occur. And so when Jesus came, he was on a mission to fulfill all those things. Set them all in the right place. But there was something more needed that was going to be needed to confirm the whole thing. See, the Bible warns us, Jesus himself warned us. He said, there's going to be false Christ arrive. Amen. Brother Dishman preached the other night, I believe it was Monday night or Tuesday night, whichever it was, he preached on the danger of false doctrines and false teachings. And Peter said there were false prophets back there, and there are going to be false prophets up here. And there was even going to be those that would rise up and say, I'm Christ. Now, we don't see that so much today, somebody standing up and saying they're Christ. But we do see a lot of people saying they're Christian. Amen. We see a lot of people saying they're Christian. So Jesus was fulfilling everything that had been told about him, everything that had been written about him and prophesied. He was fulfilling all that. He was finishing the work. And in the midst of that, these disciples, they were with him. They were learning. They were experiencing things, but they wasn't fully persuaded, at least not yet. Amen. But guess what? There was coming a day when it was all going to come together. There was coming a day when, brother, it was all going to get confirmed, if you will. There was coming a day when it was going to be sealed. Amen. In John chapter 14 and verse 20, he said this. Well, let me back up just a little bit and read in verse John 14 and verse 18. He said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me. Because I live, you shall live also. At that day, ye shall know that I am in the Father, and ye in me, and I in you. Amen. What did he tell us? He said, there's coming a day. At that day, he said. And he was talking to his disciples. He said, at that day, then you're going to know it. You're going to know it. Brother, it's not going to be anymore. It's not going to be any of this wishy-washy anymore. It's not going to be, well, maybe I want to be Church of God. Maybe I don't. Maybe. It's not going to be that anymore. He said, at that day, you're going to know it. I'm glad that God can give us the ability to know it. Where we don't have to go around second guessing and doubting and wondering. Brother, I'm telling you about a God this morning who can confirm this thing with your soul. He can confirm this thing in your life to where you can know you're saved. You can know you're sanctified. You can know you're on your way to heaven. You can know that God's working in your life. Amen. I'm talking about a God that can help you know it. Amen. The Bible gives us many different things along these lines. Amen. Over in 2 Corinthians, Paul was writing to this congregation of people. And he said in chapter 3 and verse 17, he said, "Now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." Amen. Paul was telling them here as he wrote to these Corinthians that God can make some changes. God can bring about some good changes in your life. Listen to me this morning. God can make some good changes in your life. You need some things to change. You need some things to improve. I want to tell you about a God who can do that for you this morning. Amen. He can do that. From glory to glory, God can make changes. He can show us there may be a period of time in between there where we're not exactly sure, where we're thinking it through, where we're wondering about it. But brother, when the glory begins to come down and God begins to take and make it sure to your soul, you can go away knowing it. You can go away knowing it. Amen. And not just that you're saved, but brother, that you've been set apart for the work of God. That you've been, amen, blessed and called of God to do a work. Amen, to do what His will says to do. You can know it. Amen. Brother, you can know it without a doubt. I'm on my way to heaven. I'm on my way to work for God. I've got somebody I need to go visit. I know this is what God wants me to do. You can know it. I know this is the way God wants me to live. You can know it. Amen, you can know it. Why? Even as by the Spirit of the Lord, He can make it glorious to you. Amen. He can bring it in a glorious fashion. Romans said in Romans chapter 1, there in the first chapter, Romans chapter 1 in verse number 16, he said, verse 15, he said, "So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. To everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." The righteousness of God, not self-righteousness. The righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. Amen. From time of believing to time of believing. Brother, you can come in to a service and God can begin to send a message and it may go out into a lot of different ways to a lot of different people, but in the midst of that, God is confirming things. God is making known things. He's convincing things. But it's not just because I'm standing in this pulpit that would happen. Not just because a human being is standing before you. There's more to it than that. It requires more than that. In fact, it requires more than me just reading from this book we call the Bible. That's part of it. But brother, it requires more than that. Amen. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. Nope, that's not it. Yep, maybe it is. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. There in verse 13, he says, "But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth." Brother, the Spirit of God does a work. It does a work. Amen. What does it do? It does a work to begin to separate us by confirming what's right, by helping us to understand what is accurate, what is on track, what is on target, from faith to faith. Amen. The Spirit of God does a work. Amen. These disciples, they believed in God, but they wasn't yet fully convinced of the identity of Jesus Christ. And many times people can believe in the existence of God. I think most people raise their hand. If you want to, and if you did, if you don't believe in God and you want to raise your hand, go ahead and raise it. I don't see anybody. That tells me everybody here believes in God. So they believed in God, but they needed something more. There was more coming. There was more available. There was more that was now being offered. And the more was that Jesus had finally come. Amen. The long awaiting arrival of the Son of God, the Lamb of God, the Messiah, the long awaiting arrival of Him had come. He was here now, and He was confirming it by finishing all the works His Father had to do. And brother, it was just a matter of one thing that was going to also come together and make it completely convincible. Somebody said, what was it? The Holy Ghost. Amen. The Holy Ghost. Brother, the Spirit of God, it was going to make it all believable. It was going to make it all confirmed. And that's what we need yet today, to confirm truth. Brother, we have a whole wonderful messages of truth. I believe the sister just said something about it a minute ago when she was talking, how that we have such precious truth. But brother, we need more than just a head knowledge of that. We need it in our hearts. We need it to the place that it'll cause us to go out and begin to spread it. Begin to preach it. Begin to let it be made known. What is needed for that? The same thing that the disciples needed. The same thing that the disciples needed. And that one day, brother, they got. And when they got it, I want to tell you something. They didn't crawl up in a corner somewhere and hunker down and refuse to do anything for God. They went right out into the streets. Brother, they looked right in the face of opposition and they said, listen here, you people crucified the Son of God. You crucified the Savior. They were on fire for God. You know what I think would be good? Do you know what I think would be good? If every one of us left this camp meeting on fire for God. Amen. Amen. If every one of us went back to our congregations and this congregation and all of us, even though there's some tired bodies and there's some weary minds and sometimes down towards the end of a camp meeting, the devil kind of likes to say, well, now you're coming in for the landing. Just put your seatbelt on and sit down and shut up. No, sir. I think we need to go right out into the face of opposition. I think we need to go right out into the streets and pour right out into the areas where God has called us to labor and take these wonderful truths and begin to let them be made known. But you know what? If that's going to happen, it's going to take more than just me saying it. If that's going to happen, if you're going to be able to carry some of this wonderful truth to your family, to your co-workers, to your friends, to your place of labor, if you're going to do that, it's got to take more than just me saying it. It needs the power of God's Spirit behind it. It needs the power of the Spirit of God. Amen. It would be wonderful if we could go from this place very persuaded, very convinced on the messages we've heard. Even for example, the message yesterday morning that Brother Abraham preached on being humble, on humbling ourselves. Brother, you know what would be wonderful? If we go forth and that message becomes a living reality in every one of our lives. Amen. If we go forth and all these great sermons that have went across this pulpit this week, if those things became a real active part of our lives, we could look back and say, man, that August 2018 camp meeting was one for the record books. That was one for the record books. Amen. But it's going to take me more than me just saying that. It's going to take more than me just encouraging that. You know what it's going to take? People that will humble themselves right down and say, God, fill me this morning with your spirit. Fill me afresh. Not because I don't believe in God, because I do. But because a man can believe in God and yet need something more. We come to times when we all need a fresh infilling of God's Spirit. The disciples in the book of Acts, not just one time, but several times, they knelt and prayed and said, Lord, fill me up. Fill me up. I want to take what you have given me. I want to take this. And I want to be so convinced of it that nothing can change my mind. That if I hit some major obstacles Monday morning, it isn't going to matter. Because it's not going to get it away from me. I want to be totally persuaded, convinced, and ready to let this work for others. You know, the Bible says, the psalmist said, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. You know what people need? You know what some of my family need back in Indiana? They need the taste of the Lord. Amen. You know what some of your family needs this week? You know what some of the people that you work around, some of the people that you associate with this week need? They need the taste of the Lord. Amen. How are they going to do that? Well, they could taste it right through your life. Right through the fruit that you produce this week. Right through the fruit that's been given to us in this meeting. They can taste of the Lord and see that he is good. Amen. But it's going to take more than just me saying it. It's going to take more than just me recommending it. The disciples believed in God. And Jesus said, believe also in me. And brother, there come a time when they were on their knees praying, when they were gathered together praying, and God gave the power that they could embrace that message and take it forward. Amen. I think it would be a good thing this morning if we left this camp meeting convinced, persuaded, rejoicing, on fire, ready in wisdom to share with others what God has given us. But it takes more than me saying it or any of these brothers saying it. It takes the power of God's Spirit along with the messages and preaching and word to make it a reality. Amen. Do you need this morning to just kneel down and say, God, fill me afresh. Fill me to the brim with the presence of God. You know what? God can do it. In one place he said, where there are just two or three gathered in my name, he said, I will be right there. It only takes two or three. Now we like to have as many as we can have, but where there's two or three, and the key was in his name, he'll be there. Amen. God can give you the ability this morning to confirm truth, to confirm the gospel, to confirm these wonderful things that have been brought to our attention again. Let's not let it get away. Let's say, God, I want to take this. I don't want to lose hold on it. I want it to be spread to others. So fill me up this morning to the very top. Fill me afresh so that I can take and share these things with everybody I come into contact with. God can do it. God can do it. And he will if you'll ask for it. Father in heaven, we thank you this morning for helping us to bring these thoughts.